Good morning, Greenview Alliance Church. Pastor Stephen Everett Hosted here, and yes, this is definitely different. Glad you're able to tune in with us this morning. Looking forward to just worshiping and hearing God's word. And so what we're going to do is we're going to open up in a word of prayer, and I have just a couple of announcements, and then we'll sing a couple songs, and then Pastor Ron will bring the message. So sit back, sip your coffee, your hot chocolate, your mocha, your water, and let's worship together in a different way this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, physically separated, but spiritually together. And we ask, Holy Spirit, in your awesome way, that you would allow our hearts to feel as though we are one this morning, even though we are separated by distance physically. Lord, during this time, I pray that you would continue to guide us and direct us, open our eyes to how we can serve you in new and unique ways. And Lord, ultimately, we just ask that we make the most of this opportunity as you kind of reset us in a way through the circumstances we find ourselves in. So Lord, may your name be praised and may you be glorified in our service this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. So a couple of announcements I just wanted to mention is, again, we're going to do a couple songs and then we're going to do the message. And we're obviously doing a lot of video stuff. So please be aware of Google. We created a YouTube channel for Greenview Alliance Church. So that's what you're actually looking through now. So anything from here on out will be posted via this YouTube subscription channel. Some of you might not be able to comment or see the live chat. And as I'm understanding it, it's because you need to have a Google account to be able to do that. Now, I could be totally off my rocker, but just so you know, it shows 38 people viewing right now, but those are only 38 people with accounts. So if someone is just clicking on the link that got sent to them and they have a YouTube address, then it's not, a Yahoo address, then it's not going to show up. So just be aware of, if you'd like to comment, be sure to create a Google account, and then you'll be able to see the live chat as people are commenting and mentioning how much we miss being together. So it's true. Also, if you guys have any technical difficulties or questions about stuff, if you want to learn to Zoom, Zoom is a big thing right now, and being able to communicate with family members or church members, and you can kind of, in this way, you can see me and you can hear my voice, but I can't see you and hear your voices. But you can actually create rooms within Zoom so you can communicate with each other and you can see the screens and stuff. And so if you'd like help figuring that out, I'd be more than willing to walk you through that over the phone and just help out in connecting that way. So a reminder, junior high, we are having a Zoom meeting tonight at 4 p.m. And senior high, we have a meeting on Monday night at 4 p.m. and Thursday night at 4 p.m. So with that being said, we're going to sing How Great Is Our God first and then Mighty to Save. So if you have another device, you can pull up the words. If not, these are pretty familiar songs. You can sing along at home and or just listen along.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, see how great is our God? Name above all names, name above all names, worthy of all my heart, how great is thy God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is thy God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And I will see how great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. Don't see how great is our God. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Say, Lord, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Say, Lord, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Heavenly Father, You are an awesome God. May You continue just to be worshipped and blessed through this service. We pray in Your name. Amen.
Good morning. Not sure how we can do super smooth transitions here. We're still working through our technology to figure things out, but maybe in the future we'll do a fade in and fade out. Thought that was wonderful. What a way to start our time together by worshiping the Lord. I hope you were blessed by Pastor Steve doing that. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody over there on the right side popping up. It's a lot of fun. As far as announcements, Pastor Steve mentioned a few things. I'm just excited to say that not only am I seeing and hearing reports globally about the church being the church, but I just want to talk right here about our place, Greenview. How blessed I am to be your pastor and to see so many of you reaching out to me and asking, how can we be the church, basically? How can we help out? What can we do to be a part of what's going on in our community? And knowing that we have people within our body here who are out of work for the foreseeable future, and so many of you have asked, how can we help out? What can we do? And I thank you for that. And plan to put you to work at some point as information comes in and as people have prayer requests that we can be the answer to. I will certainly let you know that. And if you have needs or know of someone that you think probably has a need but maybe is shy about asking, feel free to call into the church office. If we don't pick up, just leave a message on the machine. We will check that answer machine regularly. If we don't happen to be here, I'm typically still keeping some amount of office hours. And you can just, you know, check in with us, let us know what's going on. As Pastor Steve said, you do need a Gmail, we believe, to be able to comment on this thing here and participate in this. And I think that's basically what I got. So, yeah, you have any needs, any prayer requests, anything like that, just call into the office, or you can always email us or email us even through our website. So last week we talked about kind of the question of, is the Lord Jesus trustworthy, and if so, why? And hopefully as we went through some of those scriptures about how awesome Jesus is, that it was encouraging to you, and that you, if you hadn't already had faith in Christ, maybe place your faith in Christ, but for most of you, you already do. And I'm just praying that it helped to build that back up, to encourage you, to maybe help you recognize that your eyes were more on the size of the problem and rather than on the size of Jesus. So hopefully your week has been a little better as far as pushing back against those fear thoughts and those things that were pulling you away from your trust and your faith in Christ. And this morning I want to ask a question and seek to answer it through scripture again, as I want to again wash you in the word and bathe you in prayer this morning. And ask kind of this question: is this a time to repent? Biblically speaking, is this a time in our lives, a time in our church, a time in our nation, a time in our world? Is this a time to repent? Repentance called for in the Bible is a summons to a personal, absolute, unconditional surrender to God as sovereign. It requires a 180-degree turn, and it requires a turning to God and turning away from sin. So with that in mind, let's pray. So Father, we give this time over to you again, asking, Lord Jesus, that you will lead, guide, and direct, asking, Holy Spirit, that you being here with us would help us to hear your voice, to see if the things that we're going to read about and talk about today apply to us, and if so, what do we need to do with it? And I pray that you would soften our hearts, help us to be open and willing to hear you out and hear what you have to say. And God, we just thank you so much for letting us have this technology where we can still connect, even if it's in a different way than anticipated. We thank you, God, that we can connect in this way. We give you the praise, glory, and honor. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So is it a time to repent? And has anything like this ever happened before? Well, somewhat. We are facing unprecedented times. Certainly, this has never happened in my lifetime, or probably yours. I've never been forced to miss church 2 weeks in a row. Now, we're not actually missing church because we are the church and we're getting together, but I think you know what I mean by that, that we're not physically able to be here to see each other face to face, to connect in that way. That really blesses me, and I believe blesses you. And so therefore, yeah, this is unprecedented. But are these circumstances unprecedented? Have things like this ever happened? Well, yeah, it's happened a lot biblically. So I'm going to walk through a little bit of that today, and we'll see if any of this kind of applies, and where do we go with that. So if you're following along, if you're taking notes, if you want to open your Bibles or your phones to your Bible app, we're going to be in a few places, Numbers being one of them, Numbers 16. I'll be in Numbers 16, 41. I'll also be in Joel 2, 2 Chronicles 7, 2 Corinthians 7, Acts 3, 2 Peter 3. So we're going to jump around a little bit, but we're going to start in Numbers 16, and I'll be in 41 through 50. The next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. "You have killed the Lord's people," they said. But when the assembly gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron and turned toward the tent of meeting, suddenly the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of meeting. And the Lord said to Moses, "Get away from this assembly, so I can put an end to them at once." And they fell face down. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censer and put incense in it, along with fire from the altar, and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. Wrath has come out from the Lord. The plague has started. So Aaron did as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started among the people, but Aaron offered the incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. About 14,700 people died from the plague in addition to those who had died because of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance to the tent of meeting, for the plague had stopped. So, yeah, this in that sense is not unprecedented. And because we recently went through a large portion of the Old Testament, we know that this was unfortunately sort of common amongst God's people, where we saw that cycle that would occur. We would see a repentance and a turning from sin and idolatry, grumbling, different things, a turning toward God, a turning back toward sin, toward idolatry, toward pagan practices, toward wanting to do what the surrounding nations would do. And then a judgment would come upon them. In this case, plagues because of the grumbling against their leaders, Moses and Aaron, and some of God's decisions because of Korah and the rebellion of Korah and some of his people. And so the people were grumbling about the way that God had handled that, fixing that blame on Moses. And then we see how God responded to it. And this was something that would happen frequently amongst the ancient Israelites. And so it's not unprecedented, and it's not something that should be foreign to God's people as we ponder this idea of, would God cause or at the least allow something to happen that would be a wake-up call for people? This is the same kind of conversation that was going on in our lifetime for most of us several years ago when the events of 9/11 happened in our country. A lot of people were left with the question of, wait a minute, why isn't God protecting us? Why didn't God protect the Twin Towers and the people on the planes? Where was God in the midst of all of this? And God was right where he always is. He is on the throne. He is sovereign and he is in control. His ways are not our ways, and he allows things to happen oftentimes that are disturbing to our sensibilities. And if we're not spending a lot of time in the Word, they can really feel out of place, and they can really feel overwhelming to us and somewhat scary to us. And then as we read scripture and we see who God is and learn more about him, we see that, yes, God loves us, and yes, he's always calling us to himself, but he's well aware of our nature and well aware of what it takes for us to get a wake-up call. And one of the things I'm certainly excited about as I hear revival starting around the world and people turning to God and the testimonies of people being healed and the amount of people in Italy, for instance, who have come out the other side of us, the amount of people who have been healed and have recovered and are doing well. And those aren't the stories that we hear about as much in the news. Yes, the news is going to, bring us things to help us to be forewarned and forearmed and give us news about staying put and, not gathering in large clusters. But they often fail to bring us good news when bad news is more exciting, and to hear about the amount of people that have contracted COVID-19 and the amount of people that have died from it, and the projections of death is sadly more exciting for many people and better for ratings than them sharing how many people have recovered and are doing well and how God is moving in the midst of this and how people are starting to turn back toward God. And some of them asking the question that I asked today, Do I need to repent of anything? Does my church, does my nation, does the world need to repent and turn back toward God? And these are great questions for us to ask in times like this, given what we see scripturally. So yeah, the answer to that first question, has this ever happened before? Yeah, many times. And grumbling is something that was often occurring within the Israelite community. And for us, again, we say, well, grumbling doesn't seem like that major of a sin because we're looking at it through our lens and we're seeing it the way that we want to see it. And we want to say, well, I don't think that I or my country or anybody should be judged that harshly for simply grumbling, or probably the more common way to say that today, what we do oftentimes is question God. And we second guess God, and we put ourselves in that seat of authority and say, well, if I was God, I wouldn't have done it that way. Or why doesn't God do it this way instead? Or if God is really God and he's sitting on the throne, he wouldn't allow suffering because that's not something that I would do. And that's when we get in trouble, when we start putting ourselves in God's place. And that's why last week we started from the position of, is God trustworthy? Can I place my faith securely in Christ? And if the answer to that is yes, then the answer to whether or not we should be trying to second guess God would then be no. We're not in a position to be able to second guess God. We're not in a position to question his authority and his sovereignty. And we have to humble ourselves before Scripture and say that God, because he is worthy of our praise and adoration and worthy of our 100% trust, we have to trust that he's allowing this, if not causing this, because he needs people to be on their knees, to look up, to see him, to turn back toward him, because our world is in a very dangerous place right now in terms of apostasy and turning their backs on God and not listening to God. And there's a lot of signs that we're getting toward, if not in the last days. And that's what a lot of people are feeling. A lot of theologians far wiser than me are feeling that way. So what else does the Bible say about repentance? I want to walk you through a few other scriptures related to that question. And Joel is the next place I'm heading to, if you have your Bibles. Joel 2. It's Joel 2:12. Here's what God's word says from one of his prophets. Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. So the prophet Joel starts saying, even now declares, Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. These are time-proven things scripturally that get God's attention that have been done for centuries since the beginning of time. These are things that our forefathers in the faith have always done to show God that they're serious about wanting to hear from him, wanting to turn from sinful practices. And I have declared many times to you that I feel our lost disciplines and lost arts within Christianity, that these are often foreign to us, because we'll take on the first part, return to me with all your heart, without understanding what that means exactly. And he says, with fasting and weeping and mourning. When's the last time that you approached God that way, where you knelt in your home or knelt at the altar at church, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, with crying out to God over your sin, with crying out to God over things that are really important to you. A lot of us have unsaved loved ones, and we will put that on a prayer list and ask people to pray for that. And sometimes I wonder how important that is to me and how important that is to you, because how often do we take that to the altar? How often do our hearts break for unsaved loved ones? How often do our hearts break for those who are facing addictions, for those whose marriages are in crisis, for those who are in financial duress, for those whose kids have wandered away? Do our hearts break? Do we mourn? Do we cry at the altar? Are we crying out to God? Are we showing him that we mean business? Or are we just throwing out a random prayer request and saying, Lord, take care of this, and move, so I can move on to what I want to move on to? Rend your heart and not your garments. Why did he say this? Well, oftentimes we see throughout scripture, a rending of the garments was a show that somebody was truly in a state of mourning and despair. We see it throughout scripture, throughout almost every book of the Bible in some way, shape, or form. I think about it with in the time of Jonah, and when he reluctantly preached a sermon of repentance, the entire city of Nineveh, as dictated by their king, was in a place of mourning and repentance, and they were rending and ripping off garments. They were putting on sackcloth as another way to make them uncomfortable and aware of their sinfulness and the judgment of God, and they were fasting and crying out to God for deliverance, and God showed up and delivered the entire city from the wrath that was to come. He says it because oftentimes, even amongst the people here in Scripture, and certainly amongst us, we will, in effect, rend our garments and do an outward showing of repentance, but not really rending our hearts. We're not really taking the time to be introspective and to quietly and soberly before God Almighty say, Lord, is there anything I'm doing or have done that's displeasing to you? Is there anything that you're trying to get my attention on? Is there a reason why I'm in this state I'm in right now of fear, anxiety, depression, whatever it might be? Is there a reason I'm here and you're allowing this to show me something? And if so, would you please show me what it is? And then when we become aware of it, rather than making excuses and rather than saying, well, I have a right to this, or this is my one pet sin I do, or this isn't really a big deal, or this is too hard for me to give up. Are we stopping and landing on that and saying, well, if that keeps coming to mind, that must be important to God. And God, will you please forgive me for sinning against you? Will you please take this away from me? Will you please let me leave this at the altar and turn toward you and away from my sin? Because that's really the picture of repentance. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity. It takes a lot, I believe, for God to get to a place to send calamity. But I trust that when he does, it is for very good reason. And we can trust in that with God. Another one I want to look at is a scripture that's very popular, at least the first or second part of it. And this is 2 Chronicles 7. And I'll read to you the second part, and then we'll go back and read the first part of the passage. This is the one that's memorized by everybody and is one of the more quoted passages. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I've heard this cried out on behalf of many people, praise God, especially many of our senior saints over the years. I've heard pray some part of this prayer on behalf of our church and our country, our nation, as they're asking God to heal our land. But listen to the first part here in verse 13. And this is, again, 2 Chronicles 7. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then we'll hear from heaven and we'll forgive their sin and we'll heal their land. So in the beginning of the passage, we see God speaking, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague or pestilence, which what COVID would be, COVID-19 would be classified as, or send a plague among my people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The thing that strikes me about this passage is the part that says, my people. He says it in here in the end of 13, the beginning of 14. If I send a plague among my people, and then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Guys, if we call ourselves his people, or if we are God's, then this does apply to us. But the whole thing applies to us. We have to recognize that we do have the responsibility for praying and humbling ourselves and repenting. We can't wait for other people to do that, and we can't wait for scientists and doctors to come up with solutions and solve problems for us. We have to take ownership and accountability for this and say, ultimately, God is in control, and God can stop this, and God can heal our land, and he can heal the world. But we have to do what the passage says, I believe, and that is humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and then God says he will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. We have a responsibility to respond, I believe, to this passage. And that is part of the application for today, is what are we going to do about that? What are we going to choose to do? Are we simply going to blame other people, blame other nations? Well, the fact is that it's here in the United States. It's in Pennsylvania. It's in Florida. It's in Michigan. It's in New York. Some of the places that I've lived, where I have family, where I have friends. And it's right here in Lycoming County now, too. So what are we doing? Are we seeking God and asking for his help with this? We are his people. Next is 2 Corinthians 7. Second Corinthians chapter 7, and this is verse 8 through 10. And this is the Apostle Paul talking about a letter that he wrote. Listen to what he says. Even if I cause you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy. Not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See, Apostle Paul writing the church in Corinth, and basically saying, I kind of feel bad that what I wrote hurt your feelings. But on the other hand, I don't really feel bad because I see what the results were out of that. I see that by my challenging you, by me pushing back on you a bit, caused something in you. It caused your hearts to be stirred. It caused you to start to have to look at yourself in the mirror. And then you start asking good questions. And out of those good questions, something happened. Godly sorrow. Because godly sorrow leads to repentance. When we truly see things, see ourselves, see our lifestyles the way that God sees them. Again, not excusing them and not saying, well, I know I made those New Year's resolutions and I plan to read my Bible every way and every day. But, you know, life is hard and life is busy and most people aren't reading their Bibles every day. And I've already read it through once upon a time many years ago. And when I made that promise, I was just really excited about the new year. But as I got into the new year, life happens. You know, working overtime because I wanted to be able to pay for X, Y, and Z. And we start to excuse promises that we made to God, and we start to excuse behaviors. And God will oftentimes do things to get our attention and bring people in our lives who can speak things. And even as I speak today, it's a hard message. And on one hand, I feel bad when I step on people's toes, and I feel bad if I hurt people's feelings. But on the other hand, I'm not truly sorry, because oftentimes people have come and thanked me for stepping on their toes, and they have thanked me because something that God spoke to them through the reading of His Word, through the preaching of His Word, cause somebody to do an about face. And I rejoice that I get to be a part of that, just as the Apostle Paul does here with his church family, that he's saying, man, I really don't like it when I upset you, but on the other hand, God uses us to speak into other people's lives. And true accountability, when we're truly accountable to one another, we are going to hurt each other's feelings. Now, we can do it in a nice way, and we can do it in a loving way, but nonetheless, when we're truly good friends to one another, we're going to call each other out on behaviors. We're going to call each other out on how we're responding to things. We're going to take the time to say to somebody in love, hey, it feels like you're spending 90% of your time watching the news and reading the news and blogging about the coronavirus and spending very little time anymore reading God's word and praying and speaking life over people and encouragement to people. And in fact, it feels like you're fear-mongering. And sometimes if we're good friends, we're going to speak truth to one another about something relevant. And that's something that's relevant going on right now with some of our people. And we need to be able to speak that truth and do it in love. And I really advocate, if you are feeling led to do something like that, there's such a thing as private messages and text messages. We don't need to broadcast that across the spectrum of social media so that everybody can read a rebuke. When it comes to a rebuke, again, that should be more private and public. Anyway, even if I cause you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. But now I'm happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led to repentance, for you became sorrowful as God intended, so you were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. There's such a thing as worldly sorrow. And that's a half-hearted sorrow, because it's just feeling bad that we got caught, feeling bad that bad things are going on. And we are going to see plenty of that. There's always going to be cases of fake sorrow, fake conversions, fake salvations through times like this, because people have those conversions that just come through fear. And really, they don't have any intention or plans from turning from their sinful ways and truly repenting and turning to God. It's just when they're scared, they may come to church. So sadly and excitedly, we will see probably a huge surge in attendance at church for the first few weeks or month when we finally are able to get back together. And then when things settle down again, many of those same people will drift away, because in accordance with God's word that I just read, their sorrow didn't really lead to repenting, and maybe repenting of self-worship instead of true God worship. Another passage relating to this topic of repentance is Acts 3:19, pretty straightforward one. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And I pray that as a prayer, a blessing over you if you're listening today. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And don't claim to be a prophet, but I want to speak that in that vein today as a word over you if you're listening, that it's truth from God's word. And if we seek Him and we do it His way, not only does our godly sorrow lead to repentance, but ultimately it will lead to a time of refreshing in the Lord. And though you may feel downcast and sorrowful and struggling for a while, man, that refreshing that comes from the Lord is just like jumping into a cool pool of spring water on a really hot summer day. Just refreshing. And we look forward to that, and we long for that. And some of us really need that right now, that sense of the Holy Spirit bringing refreshment to our souls as we feel bogged down and weighed down by some of the weight that's on us that the world is putting there right now. And I want to conclude the message part of this today in 2 Peter 3, 9 through 13, 2 Peter 3, 9 through 13. God's word says this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." Praise God. So the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And sometimes we wonder about things and wonder, well, why isn't God just moving everything rapidly toward the rapture and toward the tribulation? And why is it taking so long? Well, God is very patient, and we might understand that as being slow to react to things, and that's simply because God is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance or life everlasting. And because God is that way and he loves everybody the same, he is desperately trying to always get our attention. And at a time like this, he certainly has our attention, maybe more than he has in a long time. And as we ponder through this and as we think about what's going on, I know many of you have likened that to, well, are we in the last days? Is that possible? And obviously this passage walks us into that as we think about this idea of repentance, because right after this we see, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be?" Well, if you think that we're in the last days, or we're heading toward the last days, that this is a foreshadowing of a sort of the last days, however you want to look at this, then you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. How do God's people help to speed its coming, meaning the last days, the rapture, the new heaven and the new earth? How do we speed its coming? Well, we already know this as Alliance people, because one of the passages we live by is, "When everybody has heard the word of God, then Jesus will return." And we feel like we get to be a part of this because we have international workers all over the world trying to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, that gospel message of salvation. And so we get to be a part of it by living holy and godly lives and sharing the good news of the gospel right in our communities here. Because as people see how we choose to live, and do they get a chance to see it during a time like this? Oh man, more than ever. More than ever, people out there are asking questions and wondering what is going on, and they're feeling hopeless and they're feeling afraid. And we as God's people are able to do something, and that is give a reason for the hope that we have. And if you're able to give a reason for the hope that you have, that can encourage and inspire somebody else to want to find out, can they discover that hope and can they have that hope for themselves? And of course, the answer to that is absolutely, because Jesus is only delaying his coming so that everyone can hear his message of salvation. So he is patient. He wants everyone to come to repentance. I am so excited about the new heaven and the new earth, and I hope that you are too. Moving forward, I may move into more about this where I'm ending today. And if so, one of the passages that we would certainly look at will be Luke 21:11. And here's what it says, just something for you to think about. I'm not going to preach on this today, but just again, as a looking ahead, there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events, and great signs from heaven. This feels like it's happening. We've been talking about this for a while between the increase of massive earthquakes, hurricanes, and yeah, there is an awful lot of famines. There's been reports of even locusts of biblical proportions descending on crops and destroying them in places around the world. Fearful events, plagues, the COVID-19 amongst other diseases that are out there. We know that biblically these things will come before the last days. Does that mean that we are in the last days? Personally, I think that what we're seeing are signs that lead to other signs and bigger and greater signs. So I would say that maybe we are on the cusp of those things, but no, we are not yet in the tribulation period. I don't think there'll be any doubt when we're actually in that place. So, but certainly if you're one that believes that we should be paying attention to the signs of the times, because no man knows that day of Jesus' return, but he does say that we can know what the signs are and pay attention. Well, signs are like the ones I just read, and we are seeing an increase in these things. And therefore, we know as God's people how we should be reacting to them. And that is to be vigilant, to be putting the word out there, to be being sober and taking these things seriously. So I'm going to use that as a close and close down this part of the message. I did decide that if you choose to stick around and you want to say something on the side, I will give you opportunity to do a little Q&A, and I can follow up with something that maybe you wanted answers for related to this message or where I was heading, or just if you want to ask a question, we'll do a Q&A. So I'm going to pray, and then we will do that for a little bit. As long as my voice holds out. So, God, we thank you for this time of worship, this time of prayer, this time of message. And I pray blessing over each and every person that gathered here today. Father, as we stick around for a little bit and just linger and have a little Q&A, I pray again that you would be blessed, that you would lead, guide, and direct. And Father, if there's other things that need to be spoken about, that you put it on my heart, you would on people's hearts to ask that question. But meantime, God, I pray that you'd help us to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. I pray, God, that we as your people would not walk in fear, but we would walk in faith. And God, that that would resonate with those around us. When they see how we are reacting, they would know that we truly have faith that in life or death that we will proclaim the goodness of our God and that Jesus saves. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Any questions while I get a drink? Amen. Thank you, Angela's prayer. Blessings on you, Brother Gary. Thank you for joining today. Reading some of your comments over here. In the meantime, and you're welcome. So thank you. Glad you're able to be here. Corey sent me a hug emoji. Thank you, Corey. I miss your hugs, brother. That's pretty funny. Good stuff, a lot to think about. Yeah, it is a lot to think about, isn't it? Lori Wagner? Yeah. Didn't get a chance to see how many people popped in today, but again, we can only see you if you say something in our live chat. So thank you to those who said hi or good morning or amens are always nice. So we appreciate that. Yeah, Perry saying he misses everyone. Matt Young, thank you for the awesome worship lead in, Pastor Steve. Yeah, that was a blessing. I was glad that he was, he's in here with me now. Glad that he was able to do that. That was really awesome. We received that, Matt. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing on both of us. We definitely received that. Yeah, and we're adjusting just like you guys are. It is weird times. Yeah, we're walking through this with you. And great signs from heaven. Praise for, I think Buffington's are mentioning signs from heaven, and praise God for Maria's healing. So, we're really stoked about that. For those of you that didn't catch that, Maria, who we've been praying for, who Yvette introduced me to, and she came in during the week a few months ago. We anointed and prayed for her at the altar with her kids, and then she came to church. A few weeks or so later, we got to anoint her and pray for her again, and then I told you last week or so, she asked for me to come over, and of course now with the COVID, that's a little scarier. So in obedience, I felt to go, and I anointed her and prayed for her. And then this past week, because she was going to Pittsburgh on Thursday, I went over her house Wednesday and anointed her and prayed for her again. Once again, pushing through the fears and just saying, hey, I really feel like God wants me to do this, so I'm going to go ahead and pray for her. And then Thursday night, I guess it was, into Friday morning, we start hearing the reports that the cancer around her heart lining had totally disappeared and was gone, and the cancer in her cervix was gone. And although they're not saying she's completely cancer free, basically she's walking in that she went from a report of as of August having 6 months to live to now being able to see her kids grow up and grandkids. And so just praise God that we as a church body got to be a part of a miracle that God is working in Maria's life. And how awesome is that? And yeah, so thanks for that reminder that God is at work and doing awesome things. And Jacqueline, hey pastor, could you list the scriptures you read today in the descriptions of this video? Yeah, I think Pastor Steve is doing that for me right now. He's just going to put them right in there so that you'll have them. So thank you for asking that. And be asking God for opportunity to speak to people about the truth of the gospel. Kathy's had an opportunity to do this a few times. Yeah, the opportunities are definitely out there. People are asking questions. Oh, thank you for asking about my eye. Yeah. You probably noticed something different about me today, maybe, or maybe you don't. I don't know how observant anybody is with if you think I look different today than I have for the past, what has it been, a month or two. But yeah, I have my contact lenses back in for the first time. I tried them out yesterday and got them back in today. Which means that my eye is healing and it's not irritated having contact lenses in. So, yeah, I, feeling a lot better. Thank you. Praise God. My, eye is, not quite at 100%, but it's close and, definitely feeling a lot better. So yeah, thank you for asking. Thank you so much for your prayers. That is another thing I received from the Lord as a miracle, because it didn't have to happen this way. Full healing, they say, could take up to 6 months. But hey, I won't complain if God chooses to do it a lot sooner. But in the meantime, it's nice to not have to wear my glasses constantly, since I've been a contact lens wearer since I've been 16. So it's nice to have that as well. And you are very welcome. Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We know this is a weird way for us to connect as a body of Christ, but we love that you guys are taking the time out of your day to jump in with us. And we're going to look for other ways to do this. As Pastor Steve indicated, he's going to be connecting with the kids in different ways over the next week. And I may be trying to do the same for adults if other people feel like there's a need for us to do that, or a way to connect with that. We may do that as well. So anyway, love you guys. Miss you guys. I am so looking forward to when we can be back together again. That is just, wow, it's going to be terrific, isn't it? It's going to be a day, a glorious day, right? When we can celebrate Jesus together in person. So excited, and blessings on you guys, and I am going to sign off. So until we meet again, we'll see you next time.